Do you or someone that you know have a story that they would like to share with the world? If so, look no further. You can join Spotify for Podcasters today and begin sharing your story with the world. How might you do this, you would ask? Well, it's very simple with this app. You are able to edit and record your podcast for free, as well as view the analytics to see the engagement with your audience with a variety of features, including video podcasting. Also, you're able to make money off your podcast because, listen, if you've been outside, like I've been outside, you know that inflation is terrorizing all of us. From the rent still being due on the first to gas and groceries, it's hard to keep up. So, if you have a good story to tell and want to galvanize a unique set of listeners, go ahead and start your journey today with Spotify for Podcasters and let them know that Prince Onyx from the Royal Albert Podcast sent you. And now, back to the show. Hey everybody, what's going on? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx, and I got a special announcement for you all before you tune into this episode. So, thanks to Spotify for Podcasters, also known as Anchor FM, and Spotify, you guys get exclusive commercial advertising free content from me for just as little as $7.99 a month. You get episodes of just me talking and talking and talking and talking, but it won't just be me. You'll even hear from different people from the royal court, my various guests. We could be talking about cartoon conspiracy theories to real life shit to politics to just about whatever. And that is all due in part to Spotify and Spotify for Podcasters, also known as Anchor FM, that allows me this feature to give you all more juicy good content that I know that y'all are looking forward to every week when you tune in to the Royal Hour Podcast. So, do yourself a favor and tell a friend to go tell a friend. If you're looking for some exclusive commercial-free content, the Royal Hour Podcast by your good guy here, Prince Onyx, is the place to be. Again, $7.99, and you guys get exclusive content. So essentially, it's getting, you know, bonus episodes, because you never know when I might throw those at you, on top of getting the regularly scheduled episode as well, that now drop on Wednesdays in the middle of the week, hump day. So again, check it out. There will be a link in the description box below this episode and every other episode where you are able to tune in for the exclusive content. All right, now let's get back to the show. Hello, and welcome to the Royal Hour Podcast, hosted by the one and only Prince Onyx. Join me on a daily to weekly basis with the Royal Court and I as we delve deep into a wide range of topics. From entertainment to politics, both professional and streetwise, to personal stories of things that we've experienced. From dating troubles to family drama and even our own tea that'll get spilled. All from a Chicago perspective that at times can be viewed as worldly. You can find us on Anchor FM, Apple Podcasts, and more. This is a show that you don't want to miss. Thanks for tuning in. And welcome to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. So I want to welcome everybody back. Now, there was a lot of stuff that was carrying on last week after I had gave y'all that new episode. And I was real close to doing a bonus episode, but then I was just like, you know what? Nah. I'm going to just save it for the following week. So here we are, right? So first, for those who don't know, Chloe Bailey of Chloe and Holly, the sister music duo, who is also signed to Parkwood as their management. That is Beyonce's imprint, her label. You know what I'm saying? That's her company. But the record label they are signed to is Columbia. Chloe finally released her long-awaited solo debut album entitled In Pieces. And prior to this, though, she was catching a lot of flack and still is catching a lot of flack. And what's really disgusting about it is that a lot of the flack is really coming from a lot of women, black women in particular, older black women, who seem to forget what it was like to be, you know, in your 20s and figuring life out and going through things and just having different experiences. You know, they just, you know, they don't have the fame and the career like Chloe. And that's no shade. It's just, hey, there's a difference. You know, she's a celebrity. She's a public figure. She's an artist, you know, an artist who is at that, you know, the pinnacle, the penultimate level where it's like, you know, you got a record label behind you, you got the money, you got endorsements and sponsorships and acting gigs and all of this stuff. You got all this stuff coming in and, you know, it's a lot. So End Pieces had dropped. I got it because I pre-ordered it, so it downloaded the night it, you know, came out. And I enjoyed the album for what it's worth. If I had to, I give it an 8 out of 10. Only because I wish that a lot of the two-minute songs, practically all of them, were longer. I wish that the interludes were full songs, or at least maybe like a minute and 30 seconds, maybe even a minute and 50, you know what I'm saying? But what I will say is the transitions were really good, which that is seemingly lacking in music these days, transitions on the albums, you know, to go from one song to the next song. And it's a way to do it where it's almost seamless. And she kind of hits it on, you know, the nail with the hammer on that with this album. But, you know, there's a story there, too, and a concept, you know, because when she was on Lotto's show, the 777 show, she was talking about how she was homeschooled for practically all of her life. So, you know, when she's in her, you know, 20s and stuff like that, this was her first relationship, her first crush, you know, first, you know, probably the first time having sex, first, you know, breakup, all of that stuff, right? And so with this album, we get into seeing her perspective, you know what I'm saying? When it comes to a song like, you know, Pray It Away, just giving that as an example, because I'm kind of going to be all over the place with this review. But with Pray It Away, it's like, you know, I've tried, you know, a Pray It Away. I've tried to drink it away. You know, it's real Cranes in the Sky type, like not with the sonical sound of it, but it's more so like the vibe almost. Like, I've tried to pray this shit away, like pray you away, pray this energy away, you know, because I don't want this around anymore. It's like, you ain't nothing but a fuck nigga. I tried to pray this shit away. Get the fuck away from me, right? And then we get to, you know, a song like Worried, where it's like, you know, you worried about me, I'm not worried about you. You know, it's like, why are you so worried? And I like that because I feel like that song was also directed at all of you motherfuckers hating on her online, because Jesus Christ, y'all hate this girl. Then we get to another song. Again, I'm going all over the place. But we get to another song like How Does It Feel? And How Does It Feel, the song with Chris Brown, what that gives me is, it's even in the lyrics, essentially, like, I gave you all of me, I gave you the best. You didn't appreciate that. Now I'm giving it to somebody who is appreciating it. So how does that feel for you as the ex? Because, you know, that's the thing, too. Even with the features, whether it's Chris Brown or Future, you know what I'm saying? Like, or even Missy Elliott with their song. It's like a conversation between artists, you know, creating these characters in this story, which is really dope when the song does that. It's like, you know, they're artists, yes, and they're collaborating on this song, but they're like playing two characters, essentially. Child, everything is intertwined with, you know, art. But anyway, you know, that's really dope. And, you know, again, How Does It Feel is really that moment where it's like, nigga, like, how could you do this to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, how could you do this? Like, nigga, you ain't appreciate shit. And now, here, hold on, let me take a little drink of water, y'all. You know, you didn't appreciate me. You didn't appreciate what I had to give. And I'm giving it to somebody else who appreciates it. And then, you know, you have a song, even though I want to say that was maybe an interlude, Feel Me Cry. And how, yeah, that was a beautiful one, too. It's like, you know, Feel Me Cry. Like, it's, you know, like being like on some twin flame shit, if I had to describe it, or being like telepathically linked almost. It's just, man, like she gave us a really good fucking album. Like, I don't care what none of y'all say. She gave us a good body of work. The only downside to it is the songs being short. And it's not her fault, really. It's the way that the industry is at large. Like, there are very few artists who still give us full-length songs. But then people even ask you, the question will be flipped on us, is what is a full-length song? Which, you know, because, yeah, even back in the day, like, you know, in the doo-wop era and stuff like that, you know, people were giving us two-minute songs. You know, folks were getting two-minute songs and shit like that. But it's like, you know, when we get those 3 to 4 minute, hell, sometimes 5 minute songs, damn near 6 minute songs, you know, when you get these 2 minute songs that feel like a crumb of an offering, it leaves you wanting more. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, I'm getting off subject. But, oh, Jesus, not the sirens again. But anyway, if y'all hear them in the background, hey, some shit going on. Hopefully somebody's all right. Because that just made me think of the friend zone. But they be having sirens going in the background. But anyway, you know, So yeah, Feel Me Cry was a really dope one. I love that one. Make It Look Easy, which that phrase, whew, when you've been going through some shit, right? And you're smiling through the trauma, you're smiling through the tears, you are holding it together through the pain, but on the inside you are falling apart, you are breaking down, you are just crumbling. But no one knows until after the fact. And they look at you and they're like, well, damn, bitch, or damn, nigga, or, you know, damn, my guy, my dude, motherfucker, like, whatever, you know, however you talk to your friends. You're just like, damn, you made that shit look easy. Yeah, they did. And that's what that song is essentially, you know, hey, going through some shit. It's like, yeah, I make this shit look easy. Like, I make this shit look easy, okay? Then you get to another one that I really like, which is the song with her and Missy Elliott, which is called Told Ya. And that's practically like an affirmation, like the chorus in itself. I thought I told you, bitch, I'm a soldier. I thought I told you, bitch, I'm a soldier. I thought I told you, bitch, I'm a soldier. Like, that's an affirmation in and of itself. So when you are in the mirror the next time in the bathroom or even in your room, whatever, wherever you got mirrors at, say that affirmation a couple of times. And I bet you're going to say that to yourself. Say that to yourself a few times. And I bet you're going to feel a hell of a lot different. Because it's almost like this song was her talking to herself, less about talking to the nigga that hurt her, but more about herself and being like, bitch, I thought I told you, bitch, I'm a soldier. Because, you know, you always had that part of you that's just like, oh, I'm so weak. I can't get fallen and I can't get up. Then there's the other side of you that's like, bitch, I'm standing up and I'm moving on like Maya. I'm moving forward, bitch. OK. And then, you know, we get to a song like Cheat Back by her and Future. And this song, you know, similar to How Does It Feel, it gives, well, in the song, it's like, you know, finding somebody else, another dude, throwing it back like I used to on you, learning some new tricks from him that, I can take to the other guy I'm going to be with or even bring it to your pathetic ass if I decide to, you know, take you back. And Future playing the character of the man being so hurt that she cheated, but it's just like, bruh, she wouldn't have had to feel this way or even go out of her lengths to do this if... Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, damn. If you didn't fuck up first. Like, she wouldn't feel the need to have done this if you didn't do this shit first. You feel what I'm saying? And so, I know I'm taking a lot of water breaks. And so, you know, it's just, yeah, it's just, man, this shit was a good body of work. Like, she really gave us what she gave us. Now, I do wish that we had, like, maybe... Because it's 14 tracks in total. I do wish that maybe we had like maybe 16 or 17 tracks. But, you know, hey, first album, it is what it is. Because that's another thing, too. People were arguing about and complaining about the time frame. Because, oh, 37 minutes, 38 minutes. What the hell? What the hell type of album is this? It's like, child, it's an album. This just happened to be 38 or 37 minutes, however you want to look at it. Because right here on my iTunes, on my iPod and my iPhone, it says 38 minutes. So if you're seeing 38 minutes or 37 minutes, it's like 30 something minutes. Okay. And, you know, I mean, she could have gave us a 5-minute album. Then what, you know what I'm saying? Like the fuck? Anyway, you know, all in all though, cause I really do like this album, you know, I like the ending towards the ending of it with the title track In Pieces, which is named after the album. And that's title track 14. Cause again, Cheat Back was a really good track too. Because, again, it's like, hey, nigga, you cheated on me. I'm finna, you know, find another dude and, you know, make it do what it do. Damn. But when it came to In Pieces, I really liked that because, throughout this album, she's showing her vulnerability as a woman, as a young woman, finding herself in the world, trying to overcome this relationship, not let that define her, and get back to loving on herself, putting herself first, so that when the next relationship arises... You know, it's like she will love herself more for that. And she will be thanking herself more for the fact that, damn, bitch, we did that shit. Like, we got through this hurdle. Here comes this new guy who is appreciating everything that you have to offer. Here's this new person in your life who's by your side. Somebody who gets you, you know, even when you feel like they don't. But somebody showing up for you. And you don't have to question it. You don't have to second guess it, you know? And it was just really, like, this was a really good body of work, like, start to finish. Again, I just wish the 2-minute songs were longer. I wish the interludes were at least, you know, a little bit longer, if not full-on songs. But all in all, I appreciate this body of work. Chloe came in and did what needed to be done. And it is what it is. And it's just really screwed up how a lot of people, from people like Impressive and Kimberly Nicole Foster, and just all these other people who are grown, by the way. And I say we put emphasis on grown because it's like, you know, people who are in like either their late 20s, their 30s, going into their 40s, whatever, who are upset at this girl talking about how they can't relate to the album, they can't relate to the music. Clearly, you're not in her age demographic, whatever the age demographic is. Because I know for me, I'm 28, right? So her age demographic may be like all of what? 18 to 25, so I'm, you know, past the cutoff point. But I like the album because I like her and her sister's music. Sorry, y'all. I like her and her sister's music. And so, you know, I'm going to support them either way. And again, I like it. It's a body of work and I like it. I appreciate it for what it is. And, you know, hey, it serves its purpose for its time. But for everybody else who is like, you know, harshly criticizing her and monetizing it, again, going to Impressive and Kimberly Nicole Foster, at least I think I'm saying her name right. I know the first name is Kimberly. I think the last name is Foster, whatever the woman's name is off of YouTube, right? For them and others who are critiquing her, I need y'all to shut up. I need y'all to shut the fuck up. Because you all, you know, y'all are coming for her. Because the image of her and how you guys met her, how we all met her, has changed. Just like it did for Keke Palmer, for Megan Good, for Kyla Pratt, for Raven Simone, for Coco Jones, for, you know, any of these women out here, these girls out here who are now older, who are, you know, coming into, who have been coming into themselves. They either have children, they've started families, or, you know, they don't have any kids yet. Probably don't want any, or when they do, they'll be, you know, they'll do it when they're ready. You know, they are no longer those little girls that we met from Eve's Bayou or from Fighting Temptations or Keela and the Bee or what was that Tyler Perry movie? Because Chloe and I think her and her sister were in another one. I think it was the family reunion movie with Angela Bassett. You know, they are no longer in these spaces that they were when they were children. And that's okay. They are growing up. That's what you're supposed to do. But furthermore, the problem then comes into play is that a lot of y'all want these girls, whether it's Normani, Chloe, SZA, Coco Jones, Summer Walker, whomever, y'all want them to be powerhouse singers 1 minute, and then y'all want them to be, you know, already put together and have their shit together. But what you guys fail to understand is that when it came to artists like a Beyonce, for example, when she, you know, when Destiny's Child had broke up and she went solo and we get into the Dangerously in Love era, you know, the whole Deja Vu, B-Day, Kitty Cat, you know, we get into that era. The Beyonce of that time period is not the same Beyonce that we have today. The Renaissance Beyonce, you know, the self-titled Beyonce, the Lemonade, you know, Beyonce, that's, she's not the same as who she was, but that's because she had the time, the space to grow, because social media was just starting to blossom when Beyonce, Rihanna, you know what I'm saying, when the girls of the times who are now household names were coming up. So again, that's the Beyonce, Jesus Christ, I just merged Beyonce and Sierra. So that's, you know, Sierra, Beyonce, Rihanna, you know what I'm saying? These girls who have grown into these powerhouse women today in business, in the industry of entertainment, they had time to grow. They had time to grow and they were given grace and they were given chances. And I feel like us as a society nowadays, we no longer want to give grace. We no longer want to give them chances. We want them to be ready off the jump. And it's because a lot of people love Chloe and Halle's music when they are together. They just couldn't get down with Chloe's solo music. And that's fine. But there will come a time where maybe it's the second album or the third album that y'all fall in line. But right now, it's okay that y'all aren't seeing it. That's okay. Or you're not feeling it. That's fine. But to go out of y'all way to come for her and drag her and just, you know, unjustifiably attack this girl and just be so mean and so rude, so nasty and so negative, it's disgusting. It's deplorable behavior. It's despicable. It's giving low vibrational behavior. It's giving low hanging fruit. It's giving, I needed content to, you know, monetize. So let me go ahead and join in and dogpile on the bandwagon of the Chloe hate train. Card number 7, coming in hot. So, you know, because when people say shit, like there was this tweet I had came across on Twitter, right? Let me pull it up. Because there was this tweet I came across that just had me like, wow, y'all are really disgusting. So this is from this is from a username Diary of Keezus. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, Arby Lennox sold 10K. Chloe sold 10K. Coco Jones sold 2K. Let the girls flop in peace. Now, when you say stuff like that, it's like you mean well, but it's still an ill intent. It's an ill-fated attempt at trying to be nice, because being nice is performative. Because, again, y'all scream and shout, protect black women this, protect black women that. Y'all scream and shout that shit as long along with support a black woman, support a black business. Y'all say these phrases that are that, you know, words mean things and they carry power. Y'all say this shit, but it doesn't trickle into actually going out and supporting these artists. Because if you really know music, like how those who know, streaming, while they may count that shit as album sales, streaming doesn't really help the artists. When you actually go out and buy the album, be it the physical CDs, or if you just digitally purchase it off of wherever you're listening to your music at, whether it's iTunes, you know, Apple or Amazon, wherever. When you stream it, when you stream it, it undervalues it. But when you buy it and download it and you own it, that's a whole nother conversation. So it's, you know, yeah, the streaming is convenient, but if you got the money to spare, which, I mean, shit, if you got the money to pay a monthly subscription to stream, you definitely probably got the money to spare to physically buy the album or digitally buy it. Buy the album. And then on top of that, it's like, yes, people are not selling what people of yesteryear sold in their first week or whatever, but give it time. The album's going to grow. More and more people will grow to like it. Those who don't, they don't. And I just really wish that we really got to implementing that whole energy of, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything nice at all. I really wish that we got back to that time period. I really wish that we got back into that energy, because shit, not the time period, but that energy of, if I ain't got nothing nice to say, I'm not gonna say nothing at all. But due to the instant gratification of the validation seeking that happens online all day, every day, because people spend way too much time online, they feel the need to be cruel, despicable, disgusting, and mean. And they don't even give a damn about it. They don't give a fuck about it. And it's fucked up. But it's the truth that they don't give a damn or a fuck about it, because they feel like, well, I said what I said. And if you don't like it, I don't give a fuck. And da 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 da. You know what I'm saying? We damn to start foaming at the mouth. They be, you know what I'm saying? Like some damn rabid ass dogs. And so I say that to say that y'all need to leave these girls to fuck alone. Allow them to grow. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. Because I really am surprised that Coco Jones sold 2K. Just like I was when Sweetie had dropped that EP and that sold 2K. And she got millions of followers, even though they you know, most of them could be bots and they could have been bought. Because you can buy your followers. If you can buy viewership on YouTube, if you can buy your views on YouTube, you can buy followers on social media. If you can buy subscribers on YouTube, again, you can buy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can buy anything, you know what I'm saying, if the money is right. And so it's just really unfortunate, because to say let the girls flop in peace, it's really, it's an underhanded non-compliment pretending to be a compliment. It's like a pig with makeup on it. It's still a pig, no matter how you slice it and dice it. No pun intended, Mr. Piggy. But anyway, you know what I'm saying? Like, no pun intended. But hey, it's a matter of how you slice it and dice it. I wish that people, though, would just really leave Chloe the fuck alone. If you don't like the music, you don't like the music. But you don't have to attack her for expressing herself, for being who she is, for trying to understand herself, for, you know what I'm saying? You don't have to do this. You don't. You don't have to do this. But a lot of you are hell-bent on doing it because it means so much more to you to fit in, essentially. You got these grown-ass adults trying to fit in their late 20s, their 30s, and their 40s online, trying to fit in with a bunch of strangers that they have never met. Or even if you did meet them once or twice or whatever in real life, you don't know them behind the scenes. So let's be, if anything, in 2023, we're going to be the fuck for real. I really need us to be the fuck for real because, yo, what is y'all problem? What are we doing? Why? Why is there this need to attack black women, but in the same breath, y'all will scream protect them? So is it protect them because you care genuinely, or is it, oh, protect them because it's the trend and it's the cool thing to say? Is it protect them because you mean it again, or is it protect them, oh yeah, I'm trying to look good for people who I don't fucking know. So I'm going to scream protect black women. I'm going to hashtag it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, you know, quote unquote, support a black woman in business when you really don't. So I just really wish that people would, I don't know, man. I just really wish that y'all would calm it the fuck down. Real talk. Like, I really wish that y'all would leave Chloe the hell alone, give her the room and the space and the time to grow, and stop feeling the need to attack her 24/7. Because, I mean, goddamn, y'all hate this girl so much. And then to keep blaming Beyonce and Parkwood, that is just the management company. It is the label, Columbia. They're the ones who have to give the approval for the release date, for the album, you know, track, you know, the track list, all of that shit. That's where the money comes in for her to be able to pay somebody like Future that's charging $250,000, you know, per feature, to pay Chris Brown whatever she had to pay him, to pay Missy Elliott whatever she had to pay her, because I know that bill wasn't cheap. Y'all fail to realize that these artists lose more money than making it when it comes to creating this music that you guys are so quote-unquote desperate for, but in actuality, you're not. You're just desperate to get it so that you can talk shit about it. Not desperate to get it so it's like, oh, okay, we got some new music to get us through this, you know, musical drought, if you will, or to help us escape. Because, like, all this shit that's going on in the real world, like, yo, the dollar, the U.S. dollar is fucking dying, yo. And I don't know about y'all, but I ain't got shit else but U.S. dollars. Fucking money. I ain't got no silver, no gold. Hell, me and my dad, this stupid ass, we should have been dead that years ago. Shit, back in 2020, we should have fucking did that. When they was distributing those fucking, not refund checks, even though I can go for a refund check right now like I was in college again, but them damn stimulus checks. Shit, I should have been bought me a piece of silver, at least one little silver bar, one gold bar. You know what I'm saying? Like, goddamn. Yeah, that's another conversation. But, you know, all this other shit that's going on, and yet here we go dragging black women, blaming black women, throwing black women under the bus. Y'all do not like these girls. And it really sucks, again, when it comes from women, too. Like, what the fuck? As a woman, how could you drag another woman? I'm not sorry when I say this, but Impressive and Kimberly Foster, Nicole, whatever the fuck, y'all bitches got the Angela Yee energy. Where it's like you'll sit in a room with a bunch of niggas talking shit about black women, or as long as you're on your soapbox, you can talk about anybody, you know what I'm saying? But the moment somebody turns the finger on you, the moment somebody turns the microphone on your ass, the moment some of the heat turns up on you, it's, oh, you know, now you're the victim. Make that shit make sense. Now you're the victim. Make that shit make sense. Again, if you didn't like the album, you didn't like it, that's fine. I can give you that. But to go out of your way to drag it and drag her and monetize off of it, what the fuck? What the fuck? Y'all bitches is weird. Y'all bitches is weird. Y'all don't know if y'all love or hate these women. And I just, you know, I'm so thankful that a woman like Megan Thee Stallion, after that that case with Tory, she took time away from the internet. And she's, you know, she's finally coming back out. And even then, you could tell that she's just still being careful with how much she's online, you know, because y'all have managed to really be so cruel to these girls. Whether it's, again, Chloe, whether it's Megan Thee Stallion, whether it's Lizzo, Summer Walker, Ari Lennox, Mariah the Scientist. You know, y'all are just so mean and nasty to these girls. The same ones that y'all be begging for new music from. Like, damn, I can see why certain people like Rihanna, for example, ain't giving us R9, you know, the 9th album. And at this rate, she probably never will. Bitch, you know what the 9th album is? Them kids. There's the albums right there. The 9th and the 10th one, because she's, you know, expecting. There go the albums right there. So, I pray for the girls in this industry, really, to be surrounded by love and support and genuineness. I pray that they know that, hey, if at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off and try again, as Aaliyah had told all of us. But also, keep doing you and keep being you. Because I'm telling you now, by album number 2 or album 3, bitch, y'all gonna be in love with that hoe like never before. Let her and her sister come out and be like, hey, y'all, we finna drop a new album, another Chloe and Holly album. All y'all who was dragging Chloe for her solo shit, y'all are finna be like flies on shit when it comes to this Chloe and Holly album. Y'all finna flock to it so hard, so fast. Because it's crazy how y'all hate one sister, but y'all love the other. And it's only because, really, it's only because racist white people have been attacking Holly for this Little Mermaid movie. That is like, y'all go up for Holly, really, but even that is disingenuous because the outside is attacking her. But with her sister, it's us. It's y'all, and fuck us, because I'd separate myself from you niggas. It's you niggas attacking her. It's always your own fucking people. It's this crabs in a bucket mentality. It's always your own fucking people. And y'all can sit here and say that it's not, but it is. It's always your own people. And then when folks go out into other fields or they cross the other, you know, the side of the tracks because the white man's ice is colder, apparently. Oh, bitch, y'all be pressed. So let Chloe and her next album start giving us like Britney Spears type music. Oh, you bitches will be pressed about that. Let her start giving us Billie Eilish music. Oh, you bitches will be pressed about that. Let her start giving us Ariana Grande, who's honestly been blackfishing since she, you know, came out. But that's another conversation. Oh, you bitches will be pressed. Everybody's talking about, oh, she don't know her sound. She don't know her sound. Maybe because she's figuring her sound out outside of her and her sister's music. Because there's Chloe and Holly, then there's Chloe, then there's Holly. Like, God forbid when Holly releases her solo music, how you guys react to that. Because there was a song floating around, I think it's from her SoundCloud, a solo song she had recorded. And people say that they like it, but that's really to spite Chloe. You see what I'm saying? Like, y'all like Holly really to spite her sister. They are sisters, y'all, like blood related. They are sisters. Not twins like we thought they were, but they are sisters. And y'all are taking y'all shit out on them. You know, to be perpetually miserable is a life that I never wish on my own worst enemy. Because I have seen people who are perpetually miserable offline. Because you motherfuckers are perpetually miserable online all day, every day. Again, y'all are perpetually miserable online all day, every day. Disgusting, despicable, and deplorable. And again, for you women, for the pick me's, because that's what y'all are giving, please understand this, and I believe I've said it before, that nigga may pick you, that man may pick you, he's a good man, Savannah girl, he may pick you, but he's still going to harm you, because he still sees you as lesser than. The same way he sees the stripper as less than, or the porn star as less than, or the girl just having a good time out with her friends is less than, he sees you as the same way. Just because you bend over and fold yourself into the patriarchal system because you want to uphold it and all of its toxicity, especially within the masculine and feminine energy spaces, it doesn't make you any better than the Sukihanas and the sexy reds of the world. I'm out of town, thugging with my rounds. Anyway, that's another conversation. Out of town, thugging with my rounds. I like that song. It's a stupid little funny rap song. But anyway, it doesn't make you better than them. Because at the end of the day, even the pick me's get their asses beat. even those who are so self-righteous and on their soapbox, you know what I'm saying? They get harmed too by these niggas, you know? So stop trying to fight for their approval by tearing this girl down. And stop trying to say that you're for women empowerment when you're tearing another woman down. Make that make sense. How are you for women's empowerment, but you're tearing a woman down? Make that make sense. But anyway, y'all, look, all in all, leave Chloe the fuck alone. I give her album an 8 out of 10, which is what, like a B plus, a B minus, if we're going to do like grade scale anyway. But grade scale or whatever. But anyway, let me know what y'all think about this segment. I am your good guy here, Prince Onyx, and I want to thank each and every last one of y'all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast. We will be right back after these messages. Peace. Hey, what's up, everybody? Just wanted to remind you again and thank you all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and comments and feedback. I love that, but also more importantly, it helps with pushing me and the show and my royal court, you all, and my lovely guests who I have on here from time to time through the algorithm. Doing that helps all of us win in the grand scheme of things. So again, thank you for tuning in, and be sure to leave a rating and tell a friend to tell a friend and leave a comment. We at the Royal Hour Podcast love you guys for that, and we thank you and appreciate you all tremendously. Thank you. Alrighty, and let's get back to the show. Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. Now, I have some news. This is coming out of my city, Chicago, but it also involves a couple of other states and cities as well. So recently it was announced that, unfortunately, Walmart is closing 4 stores in Chicago that are mostly located on the south and west side, including one in Little Village, which is a predominantly Latino neighborhood, which is kind of like, I would say Little Village is like southwest. So still with, it's like kind of not a barrier, if you will, but it's in between, you know, just where it is placed on the map. So the stores that are closing, they say that from the article, there's a little screenshot going around that's saying, and I quote, "With that in mind, we have made the difficult decision to close these underperforming stores in Chicago. The following stores will close to the public by Sunday, April 16th, which is only but a few days away by the time you guys hear this. Because again, I am a day late and $5 short with this episode. I apologize. Life has just really been lifing, unfortunately. But anywho. Number 5781, which is the Chatham Supercenter, the Walmart Health Center, and the Walmart Academy, located with the address of 8431 South Stewart Avenue. Number 3166 in the Kenwood neighborhood, that is the Kenwood Neighborhood Market, that is over on the south side, and that is the address of 4720 South Cottage Grove Avenue. Number 5645 Lakeview Neighborhood Market, with the address of 2844 North Broadway Street, which actually, that's, if I'm not mistaken, and I am a fellow Chicagoan, I've lived here all of my life, that is on the north side. So, but clearly that area must be predominantly, you know, must be predominantly black or mixed or whatever the case is, but they're shutting down that one as well. So I find that interesting. And number 5646, Little Village Neighborhood Market, which is located, and this is the one, again, in Little Village, with the address of 2551 West Cermak Road. And it's very unfortunate what is happening. And when you peel back the layers, of course, you know, you have the racist white trolls and the right, I was going to say the leftists, the right extremists, the conservatives talking about, you know, blaming shoplifting. They're blaming the riots in 2020. Then, you know, you got everybody else talking about inflation and the prices not going down. Then, you know, everybody just blaming, pointing the finger everywhere, right? But then there's another layer that's been pulled back, allegedly, that the family that owns Walmart, they were supporting Paul Vallaws during the mayoral campaign for who would be the new mayor of Chicago. And since he lost, it's ironic how there's nothing that really ever happens by coincidence or happenstance, because when he lost, it just seemed like that was a part of the plan. Like if he won, they may have kept them open. But then I feel like they probably would have still closed them, because if they've been losing, you know, from what they're saying, tens of millions of dollars due to shoplifting and yada, yada, yada. If they've been losing that, you know, and it's like they have considered these stores as underperforming, you know, hey, that plays a role in it. But then on top of that, from what my mother told me, because she had heard that OSHA, which is O-S-H-A, they had shut down these stores, especially the one on Cottage Grove, because there was an article that came out about them serving expired meat. But they were using food dye, which is a trick that grocery stores use, and it's not just exclusive to Walmart. It's a lot of grocery stores in America that do that, where they use food dye to make the meat still look fresh. And then you got to think about it, right? Somebody goes to the store, they buy some ground beef or some ground turkey or some pork or whatever they buy. They, you know, cook, you know, they make tacos or spaghetti or meatloaf or whatever they make, you know what I'm saying? Boneless chicken, whatever the hell, you know, they make something with that meat, right? They get sick afterwards. And then they're pinpointing where they got sick from, where they got a bad case of food poisoning and diarrhea and all of that stuff, right? And so they're pinpointing it and they're realizing, well, okay, I didn't go out to eat because I went grocery shopping and then I made, you know, I made dinner, I made lunch, whatever. But where did I go grocery shopping? Ha. And this is why my mother always tells me to keep my receipts from the grocery store, because, hey, some shit like that happens, you know, you should get a fucking refund, because it's like, yo, this shit made me sick. What the fuck? It's underperforming. You're serving contaminated meat, expired meat, which, hell, is the same shit. Contaminated and expired, they damn near are at the crossroads together. So you have that going on. But of course, they're saying that the employees, they will just send them to other Walmarts, which is the only silver lining in this case. You know what I'm saying? In this case scenario, that's the only silver lining, is that, oh, they're just going to move them, you know, move them over to another place. You know what I'm saying? And then, of course, someone else is saying on social media that the only recent veto that a Chicago mayor has offered was a ban on Walmart coming into Chicago. So apparently, you know, there's been a ban that they're trying to place on Walmart even entering, because back in 2010, there was a boycott, actually. There was a boycott back in 2010 when they had opened up the Walmart over in the Chatham neighborhood. So, and that was from the New York Times. You can look that article up as well. But here's a little screen grab from that story, too. So the headline reads from the New York Times, Walmart struggles to expand in Chicago. Efforts to broker a deal for a new store in the Chatham neighborhood failed again on January 11th. The council had rejected the Chatham plan in 2004 at the same time that aldermen approved the Westside Walmart. Almost 6 years later, the issue remains divisive, especially in the predominantly black neighborhoods where Walmart wants to open 5 supercenters that sell groceries as well as other retail items. So, you know, it's just, it's a lot of stuff that's going on. And my thing is, you know, people who have said that, you know, oh, you can't have a Walmart or anything nice on the South Side because it will be driven out by shoplifters. Again, going to that shoplifting comment earlier of how people were, of course, the right, the conservatives, the racist Republicans who don't want to acknowledge that they're racist. But they use this argument, and you have a lot of niggas who are agreeing with them. That's how, you know, a lot of black folks are low-key conservative. They just vote Democratic. They just, you know, they vote Democratic, but they're really conservative. Let's be real, right? So anyway, that argument of you can't have anything nice on the South Side where, you know, or else it'll get driven out by shoplifters, it's honest to God just some lame ass defeatism. And all that does is it serves the racists and the racism that will completely ignore the fact that Chicago South Side once had the largest open air market in the U.S. Because there's this page on social media, on Twitter and Instagram, they are called Segregation by Design. And what they do is they show pictures of what neighborhoods in all types of cities throughout America used to look like versus what they look like now. But they go over the course, like this one picture that they are showing me right now. See, this is why I low-key need to get back into my YouTube stuff so I can visually show y'all this. But this one picture that they're showing is of Chicago's Maxwell Street Market before and after government funding, quote unquote, urban renewal. The Maxwell Street Market was the largest open air market in the U.S., covering over 9 square blocks in the predominantly black, Latino, and immigrant neighborhood on the near west side. So in 1967, they are showing a picture of what it used to look like and how this shit was thriving. And, you know, in other words, it was bussing. Then in 1987, it's all gone. It's all those buildings and everything is now all gone. So it's just like, again, segregation by design. Segregation by design. This shit is by design because they're trying to get rid of us more and more and more. And see, this is, that's another conversation. I'm getting too ahead of myself because I'm really, I guess you can say hyped up about this. But that's just because, again, it's like, nothing, y'all, is by design. Because then it was announced that Chicago is set to host the 2024 Democratic National Convention. And we had beat out two other states for that, which I was really surprised because I was like, did we ever host that? But, you know, because that's going to bring a lot of money into the city. Where that money's going to go, I can tell you one thing. It's not going to go to us, the Chicagoans. Okay, it's going to go into some motherfuckers' pockets. Because a lot of people are putting two and two together with that as well about how this was announced on April 11th at the same time that on April 11th, the whole Walmart closures was announced as well. So it's just a lot of shit going on. But again, like I was saying to y'all, like, it's not just Walmart that's closing. I mean, hell, there's a Whole Foods that are, they're closing some stores out in San Francisco. There's, I think, another city they're closing some, Nike and Regal stores. So it's just, it's really something. And of course, it's just a lot. It's a lot of serious shit going on. But this is why I talk about shit like this, to make people aware of what is happening. Because I could easily come to y'all talking about the same bullshit that everybody else and their mama want to talk about the whole, you know, going 50-50 on dates and who does this. Oh, a man shouldn't act this way. A woman shouldn't do this. Oh, you men are acting zesty. I could talk about all that stupid shit, but there's serious shit that we need to focus on. Once again, shift your focus because there is real shit going on. Shift your focus. There is real shit going on. Shift your focus. There is real shit going on. Now I'm really getting up on the mic. Shift your focus. There is real shit going on. Shift your focus. There is real shit going on. And I don't care how long and how much I have to repeat that in order to get people to understand that once again, there's real shit going on that we need to be focused on. Because, you know, this right here, with these closures in particular, it's furthering the gentrification of how they are trying to gentrify the South and West Side. And you know what? It's amazing to me that, you know, when Black folks in Chicago first started talking about the gentrification that has been happening for a long time, we were ignored. People thought we were just talking shit, making shit up. Of course, they brought up the whole thing about, oh, well, y'all can't have nothing nice on your side of town, and the crime and the crime rates and the you know, Chirac and blah, 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 the gangs and the gun violence, da, 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 right? But now that the gentrification is coming into other neighborhoods, oh, now y'all motherfuckers want to realize that we were telling y'all the truth. Now you want to realize we were telling you the truth from the giddy up. We were telling you the truth from the giddy up, but now you're realizing, oh shit, they hate us too. They don't like us either. Yes, because they've never liked y'all. Black people just happen to be at the bottom of the totem pole. So that's why they figure, oh yeah, we can remove this out of here. Just like they did in Inglewood out here, where they removed the Whole Foods and want to replace it with a fucking Save-A-Lot. Save-A-Lot gives low quality food. Everybody and their mama fucking knows that. Save-A-Lot gives you low quality food. Food for Less, same conversation. Like, these places and the people who are behind this, the people who are behind these contracts and these dealings, oftentimes look like us. They oftentimes look like us. And they get upset when protesters and activists speak calmly and don't get all irate and emotional. And that's a skill and a tactic that my heart goes out to those activists and those protesters, because I know that shit is hard to stare these oppressors, even when they look like us, in the face and keep a calm fucking demeanor. I know that shit is hard because you want to just, you know, jab out on their ass so bad, but that's the reaction that they really want. They want you to act up so that they can tell, you know, show the white overseers, the non-Black overseers, or even the, you know, the non-Black, non-white people of color overseers. Oh, look at them. See, I'm not like them. I'm one of the good ones. So, you know, it's just like, fuck that whole mantra of they hate us because they ain't us. They just don't like us, period. And so they want to strip these areas of these stores, of these locations where people depend on food. They depend on for their food and their medication because there are people who have their prescriptions coming through those Walmarts. Now they have to send those prescriptions elsewhere that will take them further outside of their neighborhood, because you got to also think about people like the elderly, the handicapped, the people where it is hard for them, you know, the physically handicapped, where it's hard for them to get around. So if these stores were convenient enough to where they didn't have to go damn near all the way to a different neighborhood just to shop, you see, like, you're making it harder for these people, therefore creating food deserts. And there's no replacements in the works, you know what I'm saying? Not to my knowledge. Like, there's no, oh, let's put a neighborhood Jewels here. Let's put a neighborhood Mariano's. Well, Kroger's owns Mariano's. But, you know, putting something else there. Again, in Inglewood, they're trying to give these people a fucking Save-A-Lot. Now, there was a Save-A-Lot over on 47th and Cottage Grove, and it was across the street from the Walmart. Eventually, they had closed down, and they replaced it with some furniture store, which, honestly, that furniture looks tacky as fuck. But, I mean, that's, you know, they want to give us, you know, low-hanging fruit. They want to give us bullshit. So, you know, it's like, who the fuck needs a furniture store? Why not put another grocery store right there? I mean, yes, Walmart was across the street. Well, is, but it's about to be was, past tense. You know, they're across the street from each other, but it's like, it was two grocery stores, even though, again, Save-A-Lot does not have good food, but that was another option that people had. And that's the thing, too. It's like there were arguments dealing with the whole Whole Foods in Inglewood about, oh, wasn't nobody really in there like that? It was so expensive, da 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 da. Well, clearly those residents didn't have a problem with it. And it's always people who don't live in those areas that like to talk about those areas. Here's the thing. I don't live in Inglewood, but I'm not going to talk down on them either. We have to stop feeding into the defeatism and the racist tactics, because this is what they want. They want y'all to talk shit about how, oh, well, y'all wasn't shopping there no damn way, so why the fuck do y'all care? And like, nigga, how do you know the people wasn't shopping there? What, 'cause you saw a couple of times where nobody was in there? Like, baby, people got real lives. People, you think motherfuckers got time and the money to shop, 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 shoppity, shop, shop? Girl, people are at school, at work. Motherfuckers, like, or maybe they did go to the store already. Already got what the fuck they needed and went home. Y'all think motherfuckers supposed to be in the store, first of all, 24-7, when the whole idea of a 24-7 store has been eradicated thanks to COVID? And shit, Lord knows it's some other shit, word through the grapevine is, it's some other viruses and pandemics about other viruses that will probably turn into pandemics that are headed our fucking way. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I just hope I can see Beyonce this summer. Baby, yeah, you better hope that you can, and myself included, because it's like, yo, we're dealing with inflation. Y'all talking about more viruses, allegedly, from the CDC. You know, they haven't been released publicly yet, but allegedly, they're talking about some shit, you know, in the works that's coming our way. It's like, yo, what the fuck? Like, what the fuck? It's just, it's fucking crazy when you think about it, yo. Like, nothing is by design. Nothing is by happenstance per se, and nothing is by coincidence. It's all a design, and the design has a goal at the end of it, and the goal is the eradication and the removal of black and brown bodies. But in this case, they're starting with the blacks, with us. They're starting with us. Then they're going to start moving up the totem pole to everybody else. But again, when it's happening to black people, nobody gives a fuck. But little do y'all know, they're coming for y'all too. I mean, look at what the fuck is happening in Tennessee, for example. I mean, it's just, man, this conversation is so deep, and I really wish I had somebody else here to talk about it with, because damn, like, I'm out of words. I'm at a loss for fucking words, bro. Like, I'm at a loss for fucking words, because again, motherfuckers want to talk about stupid shit. Let's talk about some real shit. Because again, all these articles that keep blaming the, oh, but you know, they're losing tens of millions of dollars every year in Chicago, and oh, they need to punish shoplifters. And baby, if people had the means, motherfuckers wouldn't have to shoplift. Motherfuckers wouldn't have to go into stores and eat the food without paying for it. and then recording themselves and showing that people wouldn't have to do that. People wouldn't fucking have to do that if we were making a living fucking wage. People are struggling even just making $17 an hour, $18 an hour, $19 an hour, hell, $20 an hour. People are struggling to get the bare minimums, my nigga. People are struggling. People are struggling, and y'all don't give a fuck. Let's be 100% clear, crystal clear at that. Y'all don't give a fuck. Because it's easier to blame the people who are suffering under the boot of capitalism, under the boot of racism, under the boot of oppression. It's easier to blame them versus being like, hey, we need to fix this shit. It's so much easier to do that, to just blame the victims versus blaming the system. It's easier to blame the victims, because to blame the system means you got to really decide on, we need to tear this shit down. But you won't, because the people who are benefiting from it, yeah, they're not trying to lose that power. They're not trying to lose that power. They're not trying to lose that power. They are not trying to lose that at all. You know, so again, and again, like I was saying, you know, it's not just the Walmarts that are closing. It's other stores too, which is pretty goddamn frightening. If you fucking ask me, it's pretty goddamn frightening that these other stores are closing as well. And it's just like, well, damn, what the hell is going on? Like, I mean, I never would have thought a Nike store or a Regal would be closing. I never thought that. Like, I never fucking thought that these places would be closing. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just make that shit make sense. Make that shit make sense. You know, because, and then you got people, of course, getting upset and calling all these corporations woke because of, you know, the people who they're endorsing and getting behind and sponsoring. It's like, child, y'all asses, it's like, go woke, go broke. And it's, and any black person who says that shit too, I look at you sideways, because it's like, go woke or go broke. It's like, look, child, people have colonized this whole woke shit. So it's like, you, like, being woke is like a damn near the new word, the new N-word. It's practically the new N-word. And you're joining in on the shit. You're joining in on the shit. So I just really hope that out of this, there comes something, some fucking replacements, some better options for people on the South and West Side in Chicago, because y'all are trying to, like, you're not even trying. You are creating food deserts once again, because the goal is to get people so upset to where they're like, fuck it, I'm going to leave Chicago. I'm going to move out of Chicago. Fuck it. And then it's like, you're going to go where? Because, sweetheart, where the fuck are you going to go? Where the fuck are you going to go? Because they're closing stores everywhere. They're closing stores everywhere. So you can go to San Francisco, but guess what? Again, they're closing Whole Foods over there. You can go to, you know, it's like, yo, y'all don't realize what's really going down? Y'all don't realize what's really going down, do y'all? Chad, Regal Cinemas, Nike, I mean, damn, like, from Seattle to San Francisco to Chicago, it's like, we're losing receipts. We are losing fucking receipts. We're losing fucking receipts, and people are suffering at the cost. And it's so unfortunate. So fucking unfortunate. But they don't, you know, like Michael Jackson told us, they don't really care about us. He was letting us know. He was letting us know. They don't really care about us. So I hope that, again, some replacements happen quick, fast, and in a fucking hurry, because, hello, you can't just leave these people starving. But, of course, you're going to do it anyway, because you don't give enough of a fuck about these people. But, you know, y'all let me know what y'all think about that. Y'all let me know your thoughts on this whole thing, because, again, it's Walmart, it's the Regal Cinemas, it's Nike. They're, you know, closing in Whole Foods. They're closing in several locations. Oh, and also Walgreens. You got, again, Whole Foods and Walgreens. They're closing stores in San Francisco. You got the Walmarts here closing in Chicago, four of them. You got Nike and the Regal Cinemas and many other businesses out in Seattle closing as well. So it's a lot of weird shit going on. And I just want to know, damn, do we need to get our bunkers ready or what? But that's all I got, y'all. I will talk to y'all later, as we will be right back after these messages. And I want to thank each and every last single one of y'all for tuning in to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. Hey guys, what's going on? It's your good guy here, Prince Onyx. I just wanted to give you a friendly reminder once again. Please be sure to leave a 5-star rating and a comment and tell a friend to tell a friend. Because when this show grows, so do you as the royal court. So I want to thank y'all again for tuning in and just give a friendly reminder to be sure that you are sharing with your friends, your family, your lovers, hell, your one-off, jump-off, whatever the case is, and let them know the Royal Hour is the place to be and the podcast you want to listen to. And now back to the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Royal Hour Podcast with your good guy here, Prince Onyx. So I'm coming to you guys with some very unfortunate news that, honest to God, was unexpected, just because of the fact that this story had got like practically worldwide attention, not just national attention, but practically worldwide. And that is involving the case of Shanquilla Robinson, who was unfortunately killed on a trip to Mexico with her friends. Now, apparently, the U.S. prosecutors will not bring charges in the murder case. Now, if you don't know or don't remember, she had died in October of last year during a trip to Mexico with some friends. The federal prosecutors, and I'm reading this article from WBTV, federal prosecutors will not file criminal charges in the death of Shanquilla Robinson, they announced in a statement Wednesday. Robinson, age 25, died on October 29, 2022, while on a trip with friends to Cabo, Mexico. Questions about the Charlotte native's death emerged soon after and only intensified after a video surfaced showing Robinson visibly drunk, involved in a fight where she was violently beat. Soon after the video emerged, Mexican officials said Robinson died of a cracked spine, later brought charges against one of her friends. The United States has not extradited the person charged in Robinson's death. In their statement announcing no U.S. charges, United States Attorney Dina King and the FBI said there was not enough evidence of wrongdoing to issue criminal charges in this case. And they quote the quote from them. Based on the results of the autopsy and after a careful deliberation and review of the investigative materials by both U.S. attorneys' offices, federal prosecutors informed Ms. Robinson's family today that the available evidence does not support a federal prosecution. Robinson's family met with King and investigators from the FBI late Wednesday morning. The family is expected to hold a press conference Wednesday afternoon. The meeting comes weeks after Robinson's family sent a letter to the White House demanding action. Robinson's case was addressed by the White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre days later. This is a developing story. Well, it's a developing story, so it's an ongoing thing. My thing is, and this is coming from somebody who I watch a lot of true crime. I listen to true crime podcasts, not all the time, but, you know, from time to time, because I, you know, like to have a balance, because, you know, too much of it, you know, there is such a thing as having too much of one thing. But you will be surprised when, you know, you watch true crime stories, you listen to the podcast, of how hard it is to really prove that someone murdered someone. The evidence could be smack dab in your face, but for whatever reason, if it's not enough evidence, they won't press charges. They won't follow through. And it's super unfortunate because now her fake ass friends who did this to her, they are probably happy as fuck because it's like, oh, we got away with it. And here's a little thing right here, right? You all may have gotten away with it for now, but trust and believe, the streets in North Carolina, they're going to get you all, one by one. Karma is going to come into each and every one of your lives swiftly, softly, and slowly. But when she comes like a thief in the night, she's taking everything with her. And by everything, I mean your lives, a life for a life. The way that y'all did this girl is horrific. And then for that guy who who was her best friend, that's, you know, what she called him, for you to just go along with the lie and everything, again, the streets are going to get y'all. And see, for those politicians, you know, the aldermen and whoever else is over there in North Carolina, if you all want to be reelected, it would be very imperative of you to get involved with the White House, with Congress, the House of Representatives, some damn body, the Senate, some fucking body, and keep this case open, because this cannot stop. They committed a crime overseas, well, you know, in Mexico, but still, well, not overseas, but, you know, y'all committed a crime in another country, left the body there, and then returned home. Y'all spread this lie around that you had to come up with, and y'all think that y'all got away with it. Sweetheart, you didn't get away with it. You didn't get away with it. You may have, for now you did, but in the long run of things, you didn't get away with it. So if I was any one of those fake ass friends of hers, I would be watching my back. And I'm not going to be like, oh, y'all should probably just get up and move to another state or another city. No, sweetheart, because y'all faces and pictures are blasted on the internet. The internet lasts forever. So wherever you bastards go, wherever you bitches and you bastards go, you're not safe. Everyone will know who you are. All it takes is just, you know, looking up some, you know, looking up Shanquilla's case, looking up the people who were involved, the people who were on the trip, and holding your phone up next to them and being like, well, not next to them, but, you know, you see somebody in the club and they look real familiar. It's kind of like that scenario. And you're looking at your phone, looking at them, looking at your phone, looking at them, looking at your phone, looking at them. And it's like, oh, and you just never know what might happen. You just never know what might happen. Then we'll see articles about each and every last one of y'all getting snatched up out of here faster than the damn IRS snatches the money out of somebody's account if they owe them. Let's be fucking for real. Again, y'all may have gotten away with it for now, but this shit is going to come back on y'all. Because that girl thought that y'all were her friends, but the entire time y'all were hating on her because she was better than y'all. And this is why, like, people get so mad when folks say, watch who you call your friends. It's because shit like this happens. She could have still been alive if she just didn't go with them, or if she went by herself, or went with some actual real friends. Because when you're doing better than people, trust me, they are envious as hell of you because they want to be you. And I say this as somebody who dealt with folks who wanted to be me so bad that they sabotaged so much shit in my life because, again, I thought they were my friends, to where I now have to restart my whole entire film series that I started back in 2015 because bitches wanted to be me so bad. So because they couldn't be me, the next best thing was to try to destroy me. And a bitch may have thought she won, but she didn't. I'm still here, baby. I'm still here like Tisha Campbell, and you can't get rid of me. But I can get rid of you. That's why you're no longer in my life. After 6 years, yeah, bitch, block, mute, and access denied. Fuck is you talking about? But yeah, this is just really unfortunate, though, because all of us really did think that, you know, with all of the everything that was going on with this case, that we would get some news. Because, again, time did pass. It was like this was 6 months ago. This is April when we finally got, you know, an update. But it's not the update that we were all looking forward to. Like, this is truly unfortunate because that family lost a loved one. You know, parents lost a child. Siblings lost a sibling. People lost their friends. She was a cousin. She was someone's niece, someone's granddaughter. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, like, people really lost somebody. And honestly, I'll even take it a step further. And yes, I have to go there. If Shanquilla was Chanel Robinson and she was white, I bet you they probably would have, you know, handled the situation differently. I mean, look at all these other, you know, true crime stories where the victims are white and how that shit, you know, it ends up getting resolved. But even in the midst of when you are black and your story has gotten practically worldwide attention, thanks to the internet, you know, Twitter, TikTok, and YouTube, and everybody and their mama and their podcasts, you would think that, damn, okay, this would be the case where they actually give a fuck. They actually give a fuck. But oh no. Oh no. this was just a case where they tried and they tried, but oh, we don't have enough evidence. Like, these motherfuckers, the people who did this to her, they really were hiding so well. And it's like, yo, y'all families are putting, you're putting your families in danger too, because you know that they families helped to hide them. So again, watch y'all backs. Know where you go with, know where that you are going to go or think of going will ever be safe, because people will always be whispering around you, and that paranoia is going to set in, and you're not going to know what to do about that. So be careful of the actions and be careful of what you do to, you know, to others, because it's going to come back onto you some way, somehow, because this right here is just really, really unfortunate. It's really unfortunate. You know, like, y'all, again, you're not filing charges in her death, but it's funny because you all got involved with Natalie Holloway's case in Aruba. You guys got involved with that case in Aruba. For 7 years, y'all aided in the investigation before she was declared legally dead. So, you know, and mind you, Natalie Holloway was a white woman. So for 7 years, y'all fought to, for, you know, did deep investigations, deep dives into this case. I'm pretty sure you can even look up her name. That's N-A-T-A-L-E-E Holloway, H-O-L-L-O-W-A-Y. I'm pretty sure if you type that in on YouTube, you will see a drove of true crime podcasts talking about her case and how there was clearly a resolve, you know. 7 years, y'all gave a fuck. But after 6 months with Shanquella Robinson, it's, we don't have enough evidence. Like, it's just, it's disappointing. It's honestly disappointing. Because again, this was the one case that I thought, oh damn, they finna get these motherfuckers. They finna solve this. They finna, you know what I'm saying? I'm just like, they finna get it. But oh no. And once again, we are reminded of that infamous quote from Malcolm X, that the most disrespected person in America is the black woman. That's the most disrespected person in America. So even when it comes to the case of true crimes, true crime stories, true crime cases, if they're black, whew, you know you're not going to hear back. But if they're white, they're going to make it right. And that just is what it is. So while people are wondering why we're so fixated on race and da-da-da-da, it's like, well, bitch, look at how we're being treated versus y'all. The fuck? The other side of the tracks is always going to be greener than our side. Just saying. But anyway, you guys, let me know what y'all think about that. And that will conclude this episode of the Royal Hour Podcast. Again, this is your good guy here, Prince Onyx. I love you all, and I want to thank y'all for tuning in with me. Again, this episode is a day late and $5 short, but hey, I still wanted to show up for you guys regardless, because I may be going through some things and, you know, behind the scenes, but baby, look, I will not let y'all suffer at that expense, unless, you know, I can't really record or I don't really, you know, I'm not in the mood or whatever, but hey, look, I'm here. I'm here and I'm not going nowhere, and I love y'all a lot, and until we meet again, peace. Hey guys, what's going on? I just wanted to let you guys know, before we get on up out of here with your good guy here, Prince Onyx, I just want to let you lovely people know where you can find me. So if you are in the TikTok streets, you can find me at Prince of the Go. That is PRINCEOFTHEGO. And the Go is short for Chicago. Or you can just simply type in Prince Onyx and I will pop up. Now that same name I just gave you, Prince of the Go, you can also find me under that same moniker over at Instagram. You know, trying to keep in tune with the whole Prince royalty background, you know, the brand. And you can also find me under my second Instagram, Prince of Gotham, with the number one, and Gotham, like, you know, Gotham City, you know, in case you guys haven't put two and two together, comic book reference. And you guys can also find me at Fanbase Prince Onyx. And you can also find me on these Twitter streets, Prince Onyx World. Now that, after you spell out Prince, the Onyx is O-N-Y-X, all capitalized, and World is spelled W-R-L-D, so it's World minus the O, and that is all capitalized as well. So be sure that you are following me and keeping up to date with me and staying in touch with me, as I want to hear from you lovely people. And other than that, we will go ahead and get on up out of here. So I love you guys lots, and let me know your thoughts on this recent episode. Until we meet again, peace. Oh, and how could I forget? You can also find me on YouTube, Prince Onyx. Hello, come on now. I'm definitely trying to keep this brand going and going and going and going. Not even trying. I am keeping this brand going. But again, I just want you guys to know where you guys can find me. All right, talk to you later. Peace.